The Truth News Network. We don't tell you what to think, but we give you truth to think about. This is TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's Dan Newman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Truth News Network. I'm Dan, and we're trying very hard to end this week on a high note and having extreme difficulty in getting there. It's just getting worse and worse. The latest is the latest New York Times anonymous source story. Yep, the hits just keep on coming. The New York Times insulted every pensive, reflective, and intelligent American with their current bombshell, allegedly based on inside information provided by a senior White House source, unnamed. Before we dig into all this, here's the actual op-ed. I'll read it to you. It's titled, "I Am Part of the Resistance Inside the Trump Administration. I work for the president, but like-minded colleagues and I have vowed to thwart parts of his agenda and his worst inclinations. President Trump is facing a test of his presidency unlike any faced by a modern American leader. It's not just that the special counsel looms large, or that the country is bitterly divided over Mr. Trump's leadership, or even that his party might well lose the House to an opposition hell-bent on his downfall. The dilemma, which he does not fully grasp, is that many of the senior officials in his own administration are working diligently from within to frustrate parts of his agenda and his worst inclinations. I would know. I am one of them. To be clear, ours is not the popular resistance of the left. We want the administration to succeed and think that many of its policies have already made America safer and more prosperous. But we will believe our first duty is to this country. And the president continues to act in a manner that is detrimental to the health of our republic. That is why many Trump appointees have vowed to do what we can to preserve our democratic institutions while thwarting Mr. Trump's more misguided impulses until he is out of office. The root of the problem is the president's amorality. Anyone who works with him knows he is not moored to any discernible first principles that guide his decision-making. Although he was elected as a Republican, the president shows little affinity for ideals long espoused by conservatives, free minds, free markets, and free people. At best, he has invoked these ideals in scripted settings. At worst, he has attacked them outright. In addition to his mass marketing of the notion that the press is the enemy of the people, President Trump's impulses are generally anti-trade and anti-democratic. Don't get me wrong. There are bright spots that the near ceaseless negative coverage of the administration fails to capture. Effective deregulation, historic tax reform, a more robust military, and more. But these successes have come despite, not because of, the president's leadership style, which is impetuous, adversarial, petty, and ineffective. From the White House to executive branch departments and agencies, senior officials will privately admit their daily disbelief at the commander-in-chief's comments and actions. Most are working to insulate their operations from his whims. Meetings with him veer off topic and off the rails. He engages in repetitive rants, and his impulsiveness results in half-baked, ill-informed, and occasionally reckless decisions that have to be walked back. There is literally no telling whether he might change his mind from one minute to the next, a top official complained to me recently, exasperated by an Oval Office meeting at which the president flip-flopped on a major policy decision he'd made only a week earlier. The erratic behavior would be more concerning if it weren't for unsung heroes in and around the White House. Some of his aides have been cast as villains by the media, but in private, they have gone to great lengths to keep bad decisions contained to the West Wing, though they are clearly not always successful. It may be cold comfort in this chaotic era, but Americans should know that there are adults in the room. We fully recognize what is happening, and we are trying to do what's right even when Donald Trump won't. The result is a two-track presidency. Take foreign policy. In public and in private, President Trump shows a preference for autocrats and dictators, such as President Vladimir Putin of Russia and North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un, and displays little genuine appreciation for the ties that bind us to allied, like-minded nations. Astute observers have noted, though, that the rest of the administration is operating on another track, one where countries like Russia are called out for meddling and punished accordingly, and where allies around the world are engaged as peers rather than ridiculed as rivals. On Russia, for instance, the president was reluctant to expel so many of Mr. Putin's spies as punishment for the poisoning of a former Russian spy in Britain. He complained for weeks about senior staff members letting him get boxed into further confrontation with Russia, and he expressed frustration that the United States continued to impose sanctions on the country for its malign behavior. But his national security team knew better. Such actions had to be taken to hold Moscow accountable. This isn't the work of the so-called deep state. It's the work of the steady state. Given the instability many witnessed, there were early whispers within the cabinet of invoking the 25th Amendment, which would start a complex process for removing the president. But no one wanted to precipitate a constitutional crisis. So we will do what we can to steer the administration in the right direction until, one way or another, it's over. The bigger concern is not what Mr. Trump has done to the presidency, but rather what we as a nation have allowed him to do to us. We have sunk low with him and allowed our discourse to be stripped of civility. Senator John McCain put it best in his farewell letter. All Americans should heed his words and break free of the tribalism trap with the high aim of uniting through our shared values and love of this great nation. We may no longer have Senator McCain, but we will always have his example, a lodestar for restoring honor to public life and our national dialogue. Mr. Trump may fear such honorable men, but we should revere them. There is a quiet resistance within the administration of people choosing to put country first. But the real difference will be made by everyday citizens rising above politics, reaching across the aisle, and resolving to shed the labels in favor of a single one, Americans. That is a mouthful. And you know what I could do? I could go sentence by sentence, word by word, and rip this entire thing apart. But we're going to do it in summary form. Let's put all this in perspective with bullet points that you've come so familiar with at the Truth News Network. First, anonymous. This is an anonymous source. Think about the fact that such a derogatory op-ed would be printed in a national newspaper that is supposed to be impartial, honest, and transparent. This is a list of negative attacks against the sitting president that is supposed to be penned by a senior member of his own staff. Anonymous source? Who reading or listening to this besides me feels there's something fishy about this entire process and this opinion piece? It's opinion piece. That's what op-ed means. Opinion. That's what somebody thinks. It doesn't mean it's factual. It's no secret that the owner, publisher, editors, columnists, and reporters at the New York Times despise Donald Trump. That's their default position for everything you see in the New York Times regarding the White House, Donald Trump personally, and his administration. It's no secret they have taken every opportunity to print horrendous stories that contain every conceivable type of nasty allegation against Mr. Trump. Over and over again since he won the Republican nomination, this paper has printed factual, and I put that word in quotation marks, stories that have on numerous occasions been exposed later as complete fabrications. Yet with that history, the Times expects Americans to ignore their history of purposely telling lies to us and simply to believe that an anonymous White House senior staffer not only wrote this op-ed for publication, but is working with an entire segment of the White House staff surreptitiously actually running the policies of the White House behind the president's back. For a moment, let's assume someone there really did write and submit this to the New York Times. Look at the content and the claims made. According to this source, this group of senior staffers sees themselves as knowing what's best for Americans themselves, what presidential policy should look like, sound like, and are quietly framing legislation and policy on all fronts, and as American heroes are, quote, steering the administration in the right direction until, one way or the other, it's over. The right direction. I'm trying hard to understand what direction that might be. Obviously, this group does not believe in the constitutional right of every American to vote their conscience in each election. They obviously don't trust that Americans had the sense or prudence to elect this president and are too stupid to understand what craziness would result in America if his campaign promises were fulfilled as promised. The policies that he revealed to Americans all across the country months and even years before they ever thought they had a chance to work in the White House were unworkable and not what Americans want and need. Oh, the president has implemented dozens of those policies, I guess over their hard work to behind the scenes thwart his doing so, that have resulted in the unequaled and never before achieved employment numbers, tremendous, massive corporate expansions, new hirings, implementation of new technology, billions of corporate dollars kept abroad, repatriated back to the U.S. to fuel expansion, growth, employee raises, and bonuses. That doesn't sound like the work of some back office pirates contemplating mutiny, or even of a deranged politician who apparently cannot even complete sentences in a conversation or make a solo phone call. This person is, with all of this animus, anger, regret, and frustration, still working in the White House. Why? Purportedly to help steer the ship, the United States, out of Trump-troubled waters back into the safe harbor that they think is where we should be. That's a lot to swallow, folks. A lot to swallow. We're going to summarize this. Sit tight. We'll be right back at the Truth News Network.
How can we say when you book direct at choicehotels.com, you always get the lowest price in our rooms, guaranteed?
Let's get someone to say it with a really low voice. Carl?
Lowest price guaranteed.
What about the world's lowest limbo stick?
How low can you go?
Nice one, Carl.
Hey, I've got an idea. Just say bada book, bada boom.
Bada book, bada boom.
Nice.
Always the lowest price guaranteed. Book now at choicehotels.com.
You love chocolate.
Chocolate.
You love M&Ms.
Oh, yes.
But your tastes have grown up, and you're just not wild about super sweet milk chocolate, so you've been avoiding M&Ms.
Yeah.
Well, fear no more.
Huh?
M&M's Dark Chocolate to the rescue.
My heroes!
M&M's Dark Chocolate Candies. Available wherever fine candies are sold.
Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media? Worried about getting the truth? No worries anymore. Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network. TruthNewsNet.org.
A little bit ironic that that was talking about Get the Truth, especially when we're talking about what is the truth in this New York Times op-ed penned this week by purportedly a senior White House staff member. If you've not yet surmised this, I don't believe this anonymous source even exists. I feel strongly, especially with the ridiculous past exposures of New York Times reporters' fabrication of stories, this is a manufactured source with outrageous manufactured story elements. How many times does it take for you to hear lies from a liar before you question everything the liar says and tells you it's the truth? How many times will the Times lie before we refuse to believe what they publish, especially an op-ed replete with bombastic allegations that heretofore are unfounded, unreported, and all unconfirmed? But wait, using anonymous sources allows one to say anything, quote anyone, make numerous allegations, and demand benign acceptance from a willing public. I am confident that is what we are experiencing with this op-ed. Here at the Truth News Network, we have written extensively, as have numerous other reputable news sources, newspapers, radio stations, radio networks, television stations, and networks, of the danger of using anonymous sources. Those who use those sources claim that without identification protection for the sources, much of the negative details of a presidential administration, government agencies and government individuals, and even illegal activities would go unknown. In a way, I can kind of agree with that. Hey, I guess kind of agree sounds a bit like being kind of pregnant. But then I remember this. Congress crafted a federal whistleblower program that not only protects those who step forward with information such as that revealed in this op-ed, if it's truthful. The whistleblowers rewarded financially for doing so. Why then would the New York Times anonymous want to remain in the shadows? Any reasonable person in the White House would know that with the printing of this op-ed, their identity is certainly to be ferreted out, and they will be exposed and almost certainly terminated. But that should never even be necessary. This person, if they do really exist, and if they do really work in the White House as a senior member of the Trump administration White House staff, this person should immediately resign their position. No person who really believes in the American political system, the structure and operation of the presidency, and the sensitive nature of running a White House would even consider working under such conditions as are alleged in this op-ed. The release of it has begun another Trump-feeding frenzy, especially in the media. And here's how it works. Listen closely to this explanation of this process that has been perfected by all of those at the New York Times, the Washington Post, and other liberal newspapers. Here's how it goes. Bubba Gump newspaper prints a story that quotes an anonymous source who said, and I'm quoting, "Jack and Jill went up the hill." Then, Barney Fife News Network airs a television breaking news story that says this, "According to confirmed sources, we have verified that Jack and Jill went up the hill." Barney Fife Network did not confirm the source or the accuracy of the story. They don't know for a fact that Jack and Jill went up the hill. Their confirmed source was simply Bubba Gump newspaper, who says they got it from someone. This is how today's mainstream media functions. One will release a story. The others may half-heartedly make an attempt to confirm independently from a reputable source the truth of that original story. But usually, when they cannot get their own independent confirmation, they simply use the news outlet that originated the story as their confirmed source. It happens every day. In fact, regarding the Trump-Russia FISA warrant basis, it was at least in part based on such a process. Here's how it went. The FBI leaked information about Carter Page, a story to the press, their news source, whichever one it was, that Page was colluding with Russians, so that news source would publish it. Other news sources immediately picked up on that story, and they ran it in their own outlet. Then the FBI went to the FISA court requesting that FISA warrant, stating in the application that, quote, multiple sources have confirmed that Carter Page actually met with Russians promoting a meeting between Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin. Their multiple sources were not sources. They were the news agencies that had published and republished the original story leaked by the FBI to that first source, telling that newspaper that they had a source that confirmed it. Today's media cannot be trusted to tell the truth. That's sad, but it's simply true. Let's hope those 45,000 sealed indictments, yep, the number is up to 45,000 now, 45,000 sealed indictments issued by federal courts all across the nation since last October. We don't know what they're about. We don't know who the indictments are pointing towards. But let's hope their being unsealed begins and executed very soon. Aren't you afraid there are indictments in there, President Trump, you ask? His campaign members, his family members, and Republican lawmakers? You know what? I really don't care. I want the truth, and I want the truth out on the street. I am tired of the truth being completely turned around, lied about, bent, and destroyed. I want the discontinuance of news releases based on information obtained from anonymous sources. I want complete transparency without hiding anything. You know what? I think you want that. I think every reasonable thinking American wants the truth. Mr. or Mrs. or Ms. or Miss White House senior staff member source, here's a suggestion. Either be quiet and trust the decision made by your bosses. No, not President Trump. The American people. The decision made by your bosses made Donald Trump, the American CEO, to operate the business of our country, implementing all those policies he detailed while campaigning and promised to put in place if he was elected. Or resign. If you really are in the White House, resign from your post at the White House and sell your story with supporting and verifiable evidence to the New York Times. Hey, maybe you've already sold it to them. If I was you, I certainly would have. Folks, I'm trying hard to figure this out. I'm really trying hard. And I'm not a stupid person. I'm a researcher. I'm an investigator. I'll turn over rocks and look everywhere I possibly think there could be an answer to these things. I can't figure this one out. But I do know this. President Trump is getting done what he promised us he was going to get done. And those changes are making dramatically positive results for every American. And that's all that matters to us. That's all that should matter. We'll figure this out together. You sit tight. We're going to keep looking, and we'll come back with evidence as we find it. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great one. Come back. We'll see you soon.
Facts and evidence is all you'll see and hear.
TNN, the Truth News Network.